from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster who doesn't pop his peas, ideally. His jokes are full of cheese. He doesn't pop his peas, but his jokes are full of cheese. He'll say Gesundheit if you sneeze, but hopefully he's a cool or warm breeze to bring some bedtime ease. His rhyming patterns may make your inner poet seize. I had one more. Popping peas, something with don't stop, because to keep the show going, what am I talking about? Well, just a little bit of nonsense, because it's time for Sleep With Me podcast that puts you to sleep. And if you're a regular listener or a multiple episode per night listener, if you could pay attention, because this is the way we keep the podcast free for everybody. But this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, with just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show, not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead, start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking if the answer to those questions are yes. Yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show. If it was missing from my life, I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now. If the answer is yes to those questions, so we don't have to go through, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right, everybody, it's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. Do yourself a favor, go to helixsleep.com/sleep and take that Helix quiz. That was about 4 years ago that I took the Helix quiz, got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux, which is a perfect mattress for me and the way I sleep. Because the thing is, the Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection. They have a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And how would you know which one is going to fit you and your body? You just take that Helix sleep quiz. You find the perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new mattress. And here's the thing. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. And that is why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from. Each design designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. You know, if you're like me, I sleep on my stomach and my side. I sleep a hot, so I want to stay cool. And that's what happened. I took the quiz. I got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux. I love my Helix Dusk Lux. And the way I know is every time I leave town, I cannot wait to get back. That first night back in my Helix Dusk Lux, it's like I'm in a state of sleep bliss. Not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, but setup is fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. Hey, everybody, it's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone. And I wanted to thank Hans, who got set up with a brand new Brooklyn embedding, which is a very smooth and smart move. If you want to be like Hans, you want to find out more about Brooklyn and all our sponsors. And if you're hearing this message before October 31st or on October 31st, and you want to sign up for our time capsule, whether you've supported a sponsor, spread the word, go on to a live show, bought the merch, go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. You'll find all our sponsors there. But you'll also find a link between now and the end of October 31st to get your name in the time capsule. Be like Hans. Help keep the show free for everybody. That's really what the Sleep With Me Supporter Zone, Sleepy Supporter Zone's about. Sorry, Scoots, I got that wrong. Sleepy Supporter Zone is the supporters that keep it sleepy for everybody. Doesn't help me pronounce words. But thanks, Hans, and thanks, everybody. And this is the end of the Sleepy Supporter Zone. Oh, Mystery Bard, a lot of people help out on this show. Who are they?
Chris Posty Posterson.
Sounds like an earful.
Wrote the theme song.
Edits episodes too.
Carl W. The Legend.
Also edits episodes.
Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer.
Runner, 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 runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website.
I am the Mystery Bard.
I do the lullabies, yeah.
I do commissions at
JonathanMann.net.
I'll write a song for you.
Any reason at all.
Story
and I'll make it personal.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com. And we're so proud.
Thanks, Mr. Bard. Also, I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. Those are great. Those are the best places, actually, to get a hold of me. You know, we're doing this one listener initiative. We're kind of always doing it. Let one person know about the show, whether it's online or in person. I really appreciate everybody that's doing that on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, in person, online. Let somebody else know about it, or let them know about another podcast. You say, hey, like tonight we'll be talking about Within the Wires. Show them how to get it set up on their phone and how to subscribe and listen. And, you know, the best part is podcasts are free. And, yeah, the One Listener Initiative, I guess that was my point. What do you say we get on with the show? Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it as a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. And what I'm going to do is try to create a safe place where you could set aside whatever is keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, you know, things you're thinking about on your mind, feelings, you know, emotions coming up for you. You know, maybe you're in the middle of your own great reckoning. You know, that's I'm here to take your mind off of that. Physical sensations, anything physical coming up, changes in time or temperature or schedule, routine, or the baffling stuff. Oh boy, it feels like I say this every week because unfortunately, it feels like I say this every week. But yeah, I got that baffled. Not last night. Now, I have seriously great. You know, Oprah's right about those gratitude lists. You don't know if she, you know, I got a message from somebody else that said, by the way, Scoots, Oprah didn't invent gratitude. And I said, well, she's just the best at it. That's, you know, so it's neither here nor there. What I was going to say is I'm so grateful. Do you hear this, sand people? Just in case you're listening, I was so grateful for last night's sleep. You know, it wasn't a 10 out of 10, but it was pretty good, especially contrasted with the night before. So let's just pretend that was an anomaly. Let's just pretend it was an anomaly. Yeah. So I've been there. That's what I'm saying. If you're tossing and turning, whatever's keeping you awake, or sometimes you just don't know. That's what my main point was. So whatever's keeping you awake, I'd like to take your mind off that. What I'm going to do is, as I said, I have this safe place set aside here, cleared out, prepared, or, you know, prepared in the way you love preparation. You say, well, I'm, you know, I don't like any preparation. I say, oh boy, do we have a safe place for you? Or do you remember, I don't know if it was recently or in the future, where I'll say, oh, but this safe place has cubbies. You know, we have a section of it with cubbies. And, you know, or we have a section for cubbies. You say, well, I'm a cubbies fan. I say, oh boy, which cubbies are we talking about? Because we got it for all kinds of cubby fans. I was thinking of the Chi-Town, but so we have a safe place. Very adjustable, and you could kind of look in from the outside and kind of decide. Then what you'll notice is I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones. Oh, so creaky, these dulcets. So creaky, some people don't find them dulcet, but eventually you may. I wish I may, I wish I might have the creaks to my dulcet tonight. That's what I say when I bed down. Again, I haven't mentioned it in a while, but that was one of my favorite Beastie Boys tracks, Bed Down. It was on the unreleased Rarities, Side Z. But yeah, so what was I saying? I already forgot. But what, yeah, when I get there, I say, oh boy. Am I going to send my voice across the deep, dark night? Lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders. Sometimes they're even subconscious, like that one. And I'm going to go off topic. I'm going to ramble. I'm going to be goofy and nonsensical. But really, I'm here to keep you company. Now, if you're new, but particularly if you just found your way to the show, welcome. I'm going to really try to make you feel welcome, but at the same time, I totally understand if you're skeptical or doubtful, or you say, what is this? Like, you have a little, my forehead is permanently furrowed. So if you're furrowing your brow, believe me, they said if there was any Olympic events for like that were based on strength of brow, if I ever changed jobs, I guess I would have had to do this in another life. And this would be really, you talk about a one trick pony, but I'd say, because then I just thought for a second, I said, well, there's probably not going to be any Olympic events based on furrowing brows. So then the next thought that just popped in my head was, well, maybe I could crack nuts with my brow, particularly that thing in between your eyes up above. That's the furrow zone. But then I said, well, how I'd have to travel the world going from square to square. In the nut-loving regions, wherever that is. I don't know if that's in Scandinavia, Europe. Maybe I could do a Within the Wires tour, not with like a live Within the Wires shows, but like, I guess I could pitch Jeffrey and Janina on that. I say, well, it would be unrelated to Within the Wires. I would just go to locations, go to their town squares and crack nuts. Well, with the thing in my forehead, which I think, I don't know if it's a furrow. We could even get Helen Z from The Illusionist involved and say, Helen, is it a verb? Am I furrowing my brow? I guess you are. Is it a furrowed brow? If a brow's been furrowed, it's a verb, right? That's a subject. I mean, I guess the verb is also whatever that thing is, the thing doing it and being done. I've never thought about writing a story from I guess we know what an upcoming episode one day will be, because it's got to be confusing for the brow, because it's being furrowed and it's furrowing. But what I was saying was, so then they'd say, so you're going to crack nuts with your forehead. Well, not my forehead. Well, I guess it kind of near my forehead. Oh, wow. I didn't even know you could do that, Drew. Well, I don't know if I can do it, but I think I'm, I know the muscles are developed. Oh, where was I, though? Thanks for steering me back. So if you're a new listener, your brow may be furrowed because you might say, okay, wait a second. Did this dude just talk about furrowing his brow and say the word furrowing 45 times? I say, yeah. You're lucky I didn't go on. You're lucky I only said cubbies like four times because that's a nice, a sleepy thing. But so if you're new, this podcast is different. It's strange, but it's well-intentioned. So I hope it can help you. So just give it a few tries. Almost every regular reviewer says, hey, it took 2 or 3 tries, 5 tries. Someone just reviewed the show. And not that I gain anything from you listening to it. I gain the most within my heart, no joke, knowing that you're getting a good night's sleep that you deserve. So unfortunately, it doesn't work for everybody. So you can check out sleepwithmepodcast.com/no thank you. That's like other stuff. So if you're new and you're skeptical or doubtful, totally, I would embrace you with open arms. But obviously, when my brow's furrowed, it says, please don't embrace me or smile at me. So I want to respect that. So if you're new, a couple other things to know. Structurally, this is a little late to tell you that. Let's see, I could start massaging brows. I have massaged my furrow before, but that was just who was that king from that, with the out, I said out darn furrow out, I was Lady Macbeth, trying to get rid of the furrow in my brow, which I mean, that could be metaphorically related. She probably did have a furrow in her brow at that point. Okay, where was I? Who would have thought I would have had a Shakespearean tangent? Okay, Shakespearean light. I got it. I know that, it's still Shakespeare, even though it's the one we read in sixth or seventh grade. Now I'm having a debate with some sort of Shakespearean critic in my brain. Structurally, what to expect. That's what I was saying. Show starts off with a few minutes of business. That's how we keep the podcast free for everybody and not behind a paywall. Then there's an intro, which we're about 8 to 9 minutes into, which is usually about 12 to 15 minutes. Of me just rambling and getting you ready for the podcast to start belatedly, but it's always on time because I want to give you plenty of time to wind down, whether you're getting ready for bed or you're already in bed getting comfortable. So, maybe I'll start making a podcast for all the furrows out there. Am I right, furrows or brows? Okay. I will have to talk to Helen Zaltzman about this because, is it the brow that furrows or the furrow that brows? Now, there's some light Shakespeare there. I mean, maybe somebody could write a thesis on that. Did the Macbeths furrow their brows before or after? The furrowing of the brow. Okay, I get to stay on subject. So the intro is just me kind of goofing around. In a way to help you get ready for bed, in a way that's familiar to regular listeners, but ideally it gives you an idea what to expect for new listeners, but it's also kind of feels a little bit silly and a little bit fun to take the seriousness out of bedtime to kind of, dial it down and to honestly try to relax those parts of you that may trigger that thing. I try not to use that word anymore. Here's a compliment I've never gotten, which is that a furrow on your brow? Holy cow. You say, what are you into? Furrowed brows. I say, hello. I think I've met, and they say, well, I'm doing a thesis on the furrowed brows. That's why I'm into that for that. I say, oh, okay. So if you're new, that's the intro. Then there's some business. Then there's a story. Tonight, it'll be a crossover, not a crossover, a kind of a tribute to the wonderful podcast in its fourth season, Within the Wires. That's Within the Wires, because I don't always pronounce things clearly. And I'll talk more about that at the top of the story. But you could check it out in your podcast app of choice right now, Within the Wires. So just search for that. And there'll be a link in the show notes. So then we'll talk about that. That'll be about 45 or 50 minutes. Then we'll have a thank yous at the end of the show. So that's the structure of the show. And like I said, the podcast's about an hour. Oh, because I want you to have plenty of time to fall asleep. There's no pressure for you to listen to me or pay attention, but there's also no pressure to fall asleep. The reason the podcasts are that long is so that you can ease in. You have plenty of time to drift off. But if you can't sleep, I'll be here till the very end because I know what it's like there. Tossing and turning, mind racing, or trouble getting to sleep or getting back to sleep. I've covered all those areas in the last few recently. So I'm glad you're here. I work very hard at yearning, I strive, and I really want to help you fall asleep. Thanks again for coming by. And here's a few of the ways we keep this podcast free for everybody. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, everybody, this is Scoots. So this is a tribute episode. I want to tell you that so you know. And it's kind of like I have a bonus tribute and a tribute. So this episode is a tribute to the podcast Within the Wires, which if you haven't heard it yet, do yourself a favor. Make sure your podcast, if you listen to podcasts not at 1x speed, I guess you probably do because you listen to this podcast. But if you're listening right now, you could even search within the app you're listening in, Within, W-I-T-H-I-N, the Wires. And click subscribe. Start listening tomorrow. It's about halfway through the fourth season. And it's a found audio, a fictional podcast of found audio from kind of an alternative universe. And there's four seasons. The seasons are serialized, but each season's serialized. Are they episodic? Yeah, they're serialized. But each season is interrelated, but not interdependent, but they could be interdependent. I don't know. Maybe I'm, but you could listen to seasons in any order is basically what I'm saying, or out of order. But do yourself a favor, start listening to season 4, then you could go back and listen to season 1, or you could listen to season 3, or you could listen to season 2. You could listen to those in any order is a guess what I'm saying, but probably start with season 4 because it's going right now. Each season is its own story with different narrators and timelines. They do overlap. Very, very immersive. Great with headphones at 1x speed. That's what I was going to point out. If you do listen while you're doing the dishes or whatever on a speaker, that's fine too. But really, it'd be fun. It's fun to listen to with headphones because it's a very intimate show. Within the Wires is written by Jeffrey Craner and Janina Mathewson. And it has original music by Mary Epworth. Each season has its own narrator and its own style and feel. Very, very, just amazing. I get to see a live version from season 3, which really impacted my relationship with that season. Because it really is the kind of thing you really do develop a special close relationship with podcasts, especially fictional podcasts. So do yourself a favor if you're not subscribed now. I did want to just talk a quick second of my first encounter with Within the Wires is, why was that? Oh, I guess I wasn't walking. I was picturing myself walking, but I was listening to season 1, I think episode 1, or maybe it was episode 2 when everything dawned on me. It was in what's called a shuttle, which was it was super old bus. It was a bike shuttle that goes from where I live, Alameda, to a BART station in Oakland. I think the grant ran out on that, but back then it was like, I think it was a free shuttle, you know, so you give for bike commuters, not that that has anything to do with it, but I was listening, I listened to a lot of podcasts. I was making Sleep With Me at the time, and I'll just never forget when starting to listen to it and enjoying it. Season one is kind of like a relaxation cassette, but there's a huge story weaved within that premise. And I did not know, like at first I didn't know that really. Like I said, huh, what is this? Which is a great way to discover podcasts anyway. So, huh, this sounds interesting to me. And then between the first, listening to the first episode and then the second episode, I was like, holy mackerel. You know, this is the beauty of podcasting, is being able to do the kind of things that Jeffrey and Janina do with Within the Wires and all the wonderful people that work on the show. But I just remember my mind literally being blown as I was sitting on this shuttle headed towards Lake Merritt BART through downtown Oakland, probably drove by, right by Radio Row. I think we probably drive down Radio Row. No, maybe one block or two blocks before it, where some other podcasts are made. But yeah, so I just remember, and then this was years and years ago. I lose track of time. So I don't know if it was 4 years ago when the first season came out. So this episode, and then again, I say, well, I'm not really equipped to do a tribute to this, because they say, well, how would we talk about it without, so that each listener can explore Within the Wires on their own, like without changing their expectations or spoiling anything, or my own relationship getting in the way of talking about it and then still making it sleepy, right? So those are kind of the rules of these tribute episodes. So I decided to turn things over to one of the fan favorites, Reginald Kuzak, who ran the Happiest Robe, what is it called? Happily Enrobed, the robe shop. And Reginald agreed to take the helm on this, which is really generous. I mean, not really, because it's because Reginald made it into something tangible. So that's that. And then there's a bone, and tucked in here is also a bonus tribute to my friend Ings, because Ings came out and opened up my last live show. And Ings is a guitarist and maker from Seattle, Washington, who plays Lullaby Rock, directs music videos. She's a community facilitator, does DIY shows and festivals, writes commissioned love songs, has earned over 1 million streams on Spotify, 2 EPs, Dog Physics and Afterthought. She did a South by Southwest official showcase, the Thing Fest, toured North America. She was up and down the West Coast this past month, and she's about to release in 2020 lullabies for grownups, and that'll benefit organizations that provide legal services to people at risk of deportation. So also link to that, because Ings came and did that, and so... also, Reginald was like, oh, well, let's do it as we were prepping for the live show. That's what we did. So, yeah, and also there's like it was season four, and Ings kind of have like an indirect connection through Northern Europe. I guess without further ado, you know, make sure you listen to Within the Wires. Check out Ings's music. And enjoy, my job's done. And now I'm going to turn things over to Reginald Kuzak, who, in case you, if you don't know, they'll take care of everything. Thanks. Thank you, Scooter. Thank you, everybody. This is, I'm Reginald Kuzak, of the Kuzak family, but not of the Joan and John Kuzak family. Because I would definitely, that would be my, if that was, it would be my claim to fame, I guess. I am the proprietor of the Happiest, Happily Enrobed, the robe shop where we happily enrobe you. And I'm really happy to bring you this tribute episode of Within the Wires podcast, which I've become a huge fan of thanks to Scooter and of Ings's music. Now, so this is a, so you should be, this should be the eve of, not Halloween Eve, but the eve before Halloween, and also the different the celebrations that take place on November 1st, the day, you know, Dios Day, you know, sleepy stuff. So this is a, episode is coming out in, with a very intentional way on this evening. Because a lot of people have Halloween and costumes on the mind. And that's where we met. That's where Scooter and I, you know, Scooter and I meet on a regular basis. You may not believe that. But, you know, I may not reside within, you know, where I live is in a musty place with creaky dulcet tones echoing the halls, my sister and I. But so I was sitting down with Scooter, and I was telling Scooter about, I was talking about Halloween. This was when it was a few months ago. And I guess you could say I was going not on a tangent, but, you know, with like a tire aid. If you said, what's the tangent? It's like tire aid, like make that into one word about Halloween, because it's a commercialized holiday, correct? And it's one thing that people don't, it's one commercialized holiday, which I guess is a good thing. I don't know why. Well, I guess I do know why I was going on a tangent. Not about Halloween itself. Let me just clear that up. I'm pro-Halloween. So I guess at this point, I was still making the observation that it's a commercialized holiday that no one has an objection to the commercialization of. One, because there's so many treats, and two, I think because people enjoy getting dressed up, and then decorating now has become more and more of a thing. And then people that like to party. So there's a lot of different commercialized aspects to it, where there's, you know, the other holidays, you know, the holidays that take place at the end of the year, which are combined across faiths. You know, people have different objections to the commercialization of those, or, hey, well, this faith is, you know, that kind of thing. I'm not weighing in on any of that. And then there's Valentine's Day, which some people object to because, I don't know, because you could say, you know, or Easter, I don't hear a lot of objections to. And then what is the other one? There's, Mother's Day. I don't know, the people you should... I don't know if you're complaining about the commercialization of Mother's Day, what I would say to you, but I think Brent from The Good Place has probably complained about Mother's Day and Valentine's Day and the commercialization of those things. So I said, well, this is when everybody can get on board, commercialize Halloween, correct? But then I, you know, but for me, is you know, I make robes that to suit people's needs and their personalities and their feelings. And so for me, the commercialized costume business is where, or they call them costumes, yes, is just someplace like, you know, I have a great sensitivity to. And that's what my tirade was about. Now, you do have a resurgence of, you know, homemade costumes and then cosplay, which is separate from Halloween, but it shares similarities with it, you know, having this great, where people take really a lot of time and pride and effort to put time into their, what they're wearing. I don't want to call it a costume because I would say that's, might be demeaning to it. But I think we can agree just for this tonight, because it's Halloween Eve, that we can use the term costume, and it can mean more than just a plastic stuff that you put on for the evening. But so I was telling Scooter, you know, my strong feelings about costumes, and especially cheap ones, because Scooter was telling me about some of the ones he had that weren't homemade, you know, that he bought at the store. And so that was where we, and then Scooter paused and looked at me and said, Reggie, and I said, Reginald, and he said, Reggie, he goes, you're my second favorite Reggie after Reggie on the morning news, local morning news, usually like, but so anyway, he said, Reggie, I got a great idea, like, He goes, you know, I usually make a joke about, you know, somebody took that from something and we took it back, you know, about that song. And I said, what are you talking about, Scooter? And he started to tell me about Within the Wires, and none of it made, you know, at first I didn't understand where he was going, and, you know, about his, you know, and about how is he going to do a crossover, a tribute for that. And he said, you can make costumes based on episodes of Within the Wires. And I said, well, and he said, no, I'm going to give you one more piece of information, Reggie. And Scooter, I said, I tried to pretend like I was Janet and he was Jason. I said, not a Reggie, I'm a Reginald. And he said, okay, think of the costumes, the costumes you have the most objection to, you know, the mainstream ones that get on your nerves. And you're going to take an episode of Within the Wires and you're going to craft that episode in that costume. You're going to reinvent and combine the two. And so that's exactly what I did. And what we're going to do tonight is have a little fashion show within, you know, within the theater of the mind here. And then we did the same with a few of Ings's songs. So really taking a costume, for example, I'm trying to think of one we didn't use that would be very pop, an airline pilot, and reinventing that in the context where the costume both becomes something more than just a regular generic airline pilot, but also is a very specific, in a tribute way, as Scooter usually says, like the song from that band whose name I forget. Oh, Tenacious D, Scooter just said, like that. It's a tribute. So I'm not going to be mentioning characters except for maybe one character that I can think of at this time and some initials and some tertiary characters. And ideally very little about the plot of all the seasons. We'll do a couple episodes from each season of Within the Wires. Now, I did want to make sure you were listening to season 4, which is called The Cradle, is thematically, or maybe that's just the title of the season. And it's about a mother and a daughter. The mother is recording, as the season starts, the mother is recording tapes for her daughter. They're the leaders of this family-centric commune outside of the society called The Cradle. And it takes place, they start out deep in the Scandinavian forest. And the season's going to be 10 episodes. The first part of the episode is a kind of a tape recorded letter to her daughter, who's trying to lead the commune. The mother is the main leader, founder, or maybe it was her mother. The second half of the tape, the side B, is a message to the commune from the mother that's not currently present at the commune. So that season 4, you could start right away. And I think you'll enjoy it greatly. Just in case, I wanted to tell you too, so season 1 is relaxation cassettes. Season 2 is, and I guess I probably talk about this in some of the season 2 is museum audio tours. So audio guides, walking through exhibitions. But again, there's stories weaved into all of these. Season 3 is dictations from a bureaucrat. It takes place in the 1950s. Someone who was trying to work within the new society dictated to Amy, their secretary. Which I guess I said I wouldn't say character name, you know, but Reginald. But we have to start, and as Jeffrey and Joseph say, and start with this. We'll start with season 4, cassette 1, and that takes place in the spring of 1993 within this world of the story, within the world of Within the Wires. Now, I want you to picture a very popular costume, not currently it comes and it goes. And I would say for anyone like, this is me not a, it may sound like I'm judging, but I'm just not. I'm trying to do you a favor. Not a good look for anyone. If you want to buy the costume and use it at home for something, that's, your own business. But, and it's the adult baby costume. And usually, it's a man, splainers would be the most person most likely to have this, usually consists of a diaper, an adult wearing a diaper. I don't think it's ever a functional diaper, but I'm sure, people have, and then usually a bonnet, a baby bonnet, and accessories could include a rattle or a big bottle. Usually if it's a party or, then they would say, well, the diaper works, and they would have something in the bottle. Probably a bib would be a smart thing. And that's about it. Maybe some booties, if they're functional booties, but that's really, I didn't even think about functional booties. If Reginald was in a funk band, it would be called Functional Booties. I don't know if Bootsy Collins the Bootsy Collins Family Band, I guess, would be better. But let me focus on this costume. So that's the costume that brings my ire. One of the ones. That I've thought about, but so I wanted to change this up, and I wanted to assume, but this is a costume again for an adult to wear, or my costumes are a little bit more than that. And you may say, what, Reginald, like what? And I'd say these are for very exclusive clientele, so they can't, these are conceptual unless you're in a position, just the construction. And also I try to make the majority of my things accessible to all. And this one starts with it. So instead of just a big human baby, we have, we built this around a cradle that your upper body would be in. So it'd look like you were in a cradle. And we would have little fake baby feet hanging over the edge of the cradle, kind of like you're sitting up in your cradle. Maybe you're getting out. Maybe you've like positioned yourself in a way that's very cute. But I've also crafted the cradle out of that way, if you're, depending on whatever your mobility is, or if you need any assistance with your mobility, this costume could be worn by anyone. Because it is movable. It does have, I can adjust it and put wheels in or whatever you need. I guess for a price, I could probably do a very lightweight balsa version. There's a baby in a cradle. You are playing the baby, but the cradle, you just get a sense. It's the colors of the wood, the patina, a little bit of a gnarl, that makes it feel very comforting. I've used a subtle coloring. You could picture it there. Comforting colors that comfort you. I put a little brand because I wanted the people to, I really liked it. And the brand of the company that made this cradle is a Scion of Leadership. Or Scooter always tells me that's how you pronounce it. I don't know if that is, though. Now, also, this cradle is world sensitive, so... there's a hidden headboard there, and inside the headboard are some canned goods, because it is a movable cradle. And if you're on the move with your baby in the cradle, there's places for canned goods and cured things. Also a seed catalog starter kit we have in there. Also a guide, how to plan a fun feast. I thought that would be fun. Then underneath the cradle is actually a bookcase with books, because I said, okay, I'd like books. There's a book of fables with some pictures of our shadow buddies, forest friends whispering behind trees, good things. Then there's also in the cradle, crumbled up, but this is actually part of it, is a piece of paper. Now, if someone reaches in and opens that, it's just the depth of illusion I'm going for. And it says, brainstorm, what to get a 19-year-old for her birthday. There's pictures of families that kind of, I want to kind of look very nourishing, not just physically nourishing along the side. And again, if you're buying this, they say, oh, well, we could put a historical figure, you know, what nourishes you? Like all of the places, like the things that go up, they call those guardrails, right? That, we call them, I have a little thing in there. Instead of calling them guardrails, they're called mother security. Also on the underneath is a cradle, if you're really looking for details, it's a heavy cross, which helps weigh the cradle down against its wheels. And then on the back end of the cradle, I put a couple traveling stickers. Says Oslo, Lake George. And I'm trying to think of other stickers we could slowly add there. And also, there's another on the headboard is a secret panel with a disguise in there. And if you need your documents, especially, you know, forged documents, a place for those. No, right now we just have a Groucho Marx disguise in there because, you know, it's more of just to do that. So that's that. Oh, and also some cash for bribes. So all those things are there. So that's my reinvention of the big baby. Okay, now this one, so this is inspired by season two, cassette two from the Ulster Museum, 1973, Within the World. Now, we all know that superheroes are a big thing. You know, that's undeniable. Most of them now are branded superheroes based on, you know, a few select pieces of intellectual property that are very popular and have been rebooted enough. You say, well, that could be a classic super person or a more modern super person. So, of course, I had to try to do a take on a superhero. This superhero outfit or costume is called Red Love. That is the name of the hero. And on the forehead of the, you know, there is a headpiece with a mask. I tried to pick some colors that just said Red Love. And then there's blue stars on the headpiece in a clock that hopefully looks like it's spinning counterclockwise. And then on their chest, you know, you really have to know this, but I'm here to explain it to you. A lot of people would say, what is that like on the emblem on the chest? Is that a beanstalk is what I got when I was testing this costume, which is understandable. But no, it's a tomato plant and it's growing. And then the sun, there's almost whatever that's called, where they have a solar glare in the movies, lens flare. Like a sun effect coming from behind the beanstalk or the tomato plant in this case. There is a tomato there, so I don't know why it's not a bean. It's not green. It's a purplish-red tomato. Because with Red Love, I just wanted to give more shading. Now, there's also, you know, if you get really deep into it, there is a mound of dirt on the bottom of the emblem, which goes along with the story in the back. If you really want to get to know the backstory of the character, you listen to that episode. Now, there's also on the belt of the hero a wooden sword, which is a replica. It's a silver. It's silver, but it's made from wood, and it has the name of a cafe on it. Then the cape. Now, the cape, the back of the cape, I did make. It was greatly inspired by the idea of imagery of a marketplace in the afternoon. So this heroic cape on the outside that you would see from behind, you'll see some apple carts, merchants. And again, when it's flowing, it'll look like there's activity at the marketplace. And you say, well, that's a lot to have on a cape. I say, well, I do, you know, I take my job seriously. Also on the belt of this hero, Red Love, is a stapler, a black swing line stapler. And that again, it just like you say, it looks, is it really a stapler? I'd say, well, it's supposed to look like a stapler, a nearly realistic version of a stapler. But if someone reaches out and touches it, they realize that it's a paper recreation of a stapler. Now on the shoulders, I wanted to put images on the shoulders, like so almost like shoulder pieces with paintings. On one side is two sets of fingers intertwined, fingers of two different lovers. It's maybe something that you've seen in college dorms of colleges. The pants. I get distracted. The pants I call Zubov's basement. And I've tried to make the look like there's like, so on the inside, they're leggings, not pants actually, but I call them pants. I call them Zubov's basement. On the inside, so on the skin side, are paintings that could be found in Zubov's basement, or maybe ones that were never found. Okay, the right, so the right side of the shoulder, or did I say left side? I guess, again, I'm already so immersed, is I call it self-portrait with a cat. But it's really, it's just, you know, just try to imagine that. Maybe imagine your own self-portrait with a cat, and I guess we could do that if we're developing it for you. And then the leggings are made to look like on the outside. Now, the inside is paintings from Zubov's basement, but on the outside, I call it sunshine afternoon, influenced by something. So it's sunlight going through gray clouds. There's choppy water as you get down towards the legs. So from the upper thighs would be the clouds, the sunshine down to the water. And now the inside of the cape, I've tried to play a game, which you'd have to buy the outfit to see. But I, you know, there used to be a game called Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego? And so this game is, you know, if you this would be really in depth, but it's where's Claudia? And you could play that game on the inside of the cape. So that is that episode. This next one is from a song from Ings. It's actually based, it's a traditional Swedish folk song. Who Can Sail Without the Wind is the English translation for that. And, you know, popular costume, I think this is the one. So popular costume, especially now in a different way, is a sailor, right? You know, sailor suit, they call it. And, you know, now it could be someone that looks like a Scoops Ahoy from that show, that things that can be strange from the youth that were working at that store. But I wanted to I took that idea, and then I thought about this song, Who Could Sail Without Wind, and I made a costume that is a bit more than that. So it's a boat, and again, this is for all accessibility. So it looks like a small rowboat, and you'd be sitting in, your upper body would look like you were sitting in the boat with the legs, you know, that are just stuffed to create the illusion. Now, this boat... has oars, but the oars are pointing up, and the oars are shaped like eyes. They're painted with their hazel eyes, and the eyes are crying. Now, the illusion of the tears is, I'll tell you, it's lucite balls and fishing line, but it's made to look like the oars are crying, and then there's a sail, and on one side of the sail is a crying eye. And it actually flaps in there and sparkles. So when it's moving in the wind, it looks like it's really crying. And on the other side, also with the wind to create an illusion, are two hands. And when the wind blows, it looks like they're being pulled apart. And a lot of sparkling. I like sparkles and lucite to create tears in this case. And then the head of the boat is like a person... you know, a bust or whatever. I don't know what they're called. I told Scooter to look it up. He never got back to me. But the I don't know if is that a masthead. I don't think so. But the goddess on the front of the boat is waving goodbye towards the back of the boat, towards shore. So something, you know, saying goodbye and that kind of thing. Now, so this is from season 3, Reel 3, episode 3. This is in World of Within the Wires, November 26, 1953. Now, this is one costume that gets worn more outside of Halloween, you know, you'll see buskers or street performers or advertisers, maybe even on Better Call Saul, not on that show, but on the original show. I'm not sure about that, but is a person as a statue? Now, sometimes they're robots and sometimes they're statues. But I thought about that one, or as a monument. So I started to design that, a person as a monument, you know, taking the idea of a person as a statue, making them into a building. So we start, for me, it starts with the legs and the feet, which would be columns. And again, you could say, well, I prefer my Doric to my Ionic column. And I'd say, well, you know, we'll discuss that in the process. I made little flying buttresses coming off at the ankles, which I thought was cute, in the back over the Achilles. The hat of the costume is a capital dome. And you say, well, this looks more like I'm going to do some sort of, you know, that I'm going to do like some sort of parody, a musical act. I said, you could. And then flow again, what looks like flowing robes. Now, there's a couple of other important details just as shining through. You know, when people wear T-shirts sometimes and they wear a T-shirt, has something printed on it, and then they wear a shirt over it and you could still see through the T-shirt. This is done intentionally. In the T-shirt underneath, it says in big black letters, it's complicated. And then it has a White House, the White House, but it's frowning. Now, that's not a, like, yeah, it's a frowny face White House. Yeah, but it's just barely showing through. And then, I guess, all of it's built like a robe to just feel like, especially if you were in Washington, D.C., if you were a monument. But this is where the extra twist comes in, and you need to be prepared for it if you purchase this costume, is that the entire costume is made from papier-mâché. And while it's well crafted, it is not well made. It is made to when you put it on, or when we put it on you and let it dry and then re-put it on you. It, you know, papier mâché, and within the world of this episode, it's made from shredded newspapers. And so, and it's very specific, but it, as the night wears on, the illusion of this costume and the costume itself will slowly deteriorate and fall apart. So you have to be kind of prepared for this to happen. So you could say, well, I have my It's Complicated T-shirt on. You see, well, that'll create, if you're just wearing that, nothing, you know, maybe you have some, you know, you will decide how you spend your evening and how you deal with that deterioration and how other people will react to it. So remember that, just to think about that. Okay, now this is from season one, cassette two, and it has a theme of about anxiety and stomachs are the themes of this episode. Now this costume has been, now there's an idea of like these costumes that are supposed to be titillating, right, and revealing, and so this costume is popular in that section. I think it's probably popular in other things. And there's been enough movies that there's other takes on this costume. It's of a nurse. But to me, you know, this was ripe for reinvention based on the influences or tribute to this particular episode. So on the most nurses, you know, in respectable institutions have a name tag. So this one has a name tag, but on the bottom of the name tag where you think would be the name of the institution, it says pay attention. And then on the name, it says, not a siren of redress. Now, the nurse's hat, again, sometimes I don't look up these technical names. I'm so deep in creation. So I don't know if that what that's called. But, you know, the head thing they wear. Embroidered in the front of it is a third eye. And you might also think that is a little bit bigger than I normally. Like, there's something heavy about that hat, and you're correct in that assumption. Now, this uniform is very good for movement. I've made it out of stretch materials, breathable materials. So this is a costume that you could actually work in, or you could run in, you could climb in. And there's actually pockets in there. So if you needed to keep a flashlight, there's a map pocket with a grease pencil pocket in there. There's also a controller. For in the hat is a drone. So if you needed an aerial view to search the area, there's that. There's also reminders. And this is embroidered in white on a white uniform to breathe all over the uniform. So if you're looking at your wrist and you look, now I wrote them in reverse and mirror, but it says breathe. So you remember to breathe. On the shoes, again, written in the same color and stitching in reverse, it says safe place, nurse. Also now, in the hips are above the hip on the waistband is a camera and bug detector, and it'll just shine a green or a red light if you cup your hand around a certain part of the waistband. It could also detect Wi-Fi. I'm trying to think of what, I don't know how to use a VPN, but I'm trying to figure that out. Now, here's another thing. In the back, because also I include a lab coat, there's actually on the back side, like lower than your behind, is a pocket for an extra pair of shoes or slippers, so you could change those out. And then stitched in the lab coat, what is that thing called? The collar. It says, listen, remember, comprehend. And then on the left sleeve are what look like coffee stains, but they're not coffee stains. They say those coffee stains look a bit like cameras. And I'd say those are cameras. And it goes one camera, then two cameras, then one camera. And then there's a big blotch, like a, one looks like a door and one looks like a corridor between those cameras. And then on the right sleeve, it looks like it was a mistake in the stitching. And it's a line with five doors on it. I'm just telling you this because you're purchasing the costume possibly from me, but it looks like just, it's supposed to look like a mistake in the stitching. And then, because it's a mistake in the stitching, if you flip it over, you'll notice it's loose on the other side, the opposite side from where the five doors are. And if you unfold that loose stitch in the sleeve, you'll see again, printed in mirror reverse in the same color, the letters BCDDACA. And so that's that costume. Okay, so this next one is based on, so this is an Ing song based on a Norwegian folk song called Mama Troll. And it made me think of a troll doll, which is not popular right now, but I mean, they have troll movies, so maybe it is. And hopefully those McElroy brothers will get in that movie. I think they probably, is it already Troll 2 or 3? But we're not sure about that. But so I thought about the troll doll, which is a doll with like poofy, spiky hair, which has always been a nice, I've always found the quality of the hair of troll dolls very, talk about palpable and wonderful. I don't know why they need fidget cubes when you could, if they would have given out troll dolls and just stroke yourself, troll hair stroke, I guess it's not appropriate to say. But I'm talking about on your cheek or your chin, or your arm. It is very nice. So I thought about a giant troll, like a troll doll. And then I thought about Mama Troll. And then I thought about this song, Troll More, it goes. So then this is Mama Troll. So I thought about the human idea of like, some people have one baby, some people have two. And some people have more. And then they get these giant strollers. And some of the strollers go side to side, and one, some are like a train. And I prefer the train ones because I see, well, you're blocking the whole sidewalk with that stroller. I mean, that's just me. But so I thought about the troll mama. And again, I thought about making sure these costumes are accessible to whoever would like to wear them. And, well, I mean, obviously financially they're not accessible, but who are we kidding? You know, in the theater of the mind, you could wear whatever costume you wish. So this troll mama is, so I thought about 11 baby trolls in a stroller, in a row. So 11 little carriers And then I put the mother troll 5 in front, 6 in back, with the mother troll there. And it's kind of like a bike so she can pedal. And all the little trolls will be tucked in. And then the mother has like a, one of those old-fashioned communicators where she could talk into what looks like a bike horn, but it channels her voice to all of the baby trolls. So she could kind of whisper to them in there, you know, like an old listening horn. I don't know what they're called. Okay, so this is the one, season 4, cassette 2, autumn 1993. Now, this is a costume that's not popular currently, but it's popular. It's a good one to make at home, though don't make it with cheap plastic bags, garbage bags. And I'm not talking about California raisins. I'm talking about a cassette tape. Now, for some of you, you might not know what a cassette tape is, but I think it's kind of gotten back in vogue. You know, in the first there was records, and then there was cassette tapes, then there was CDs. I know there was 8-tracks or whatever, but and then there was digital, and maybe there was stuff in between that I don't know about. Now, the nice thing about cassette tapes was that you could make mixtapes, and that was like what was really beloved about cassettes: the portability and the ability to make mixtapes and make them for people you cared about. Or you had crushes on, or to communicate things. And so I made a giant cassette tape costume. Now, this is more the container of the cassette tape, the actual, that was where you'd write out the songs, the song lists, I guess. Now, this one I did want to put in character because I just thought about it a lot, and I thought Sigrid, and I said, well, would it be Sigrid's mix or... I am not sure. So that's what I think about. I'm calling it now. And then then for me, I started to play with, well, what music would she be into? Is it jazzy? Oh, and then what if we name the songs, but then, is she into like metal, hip hop, which, 80s and 90s, woo, what would be her influences? And I thought about, would she doodle? Would she draw? I know her writing would not be bubbly. I don't think it would be strong and decisive. But again, I'm always projecting onto these costumes. But I thought there'd be some rivers and mountains. And the first song would be named. Now, I'm big on this with Scooter, too. The first song is Sandpoint. But then in parentheses, it says... not a love song called Rosie and David. Then the next song is Evergreens Like Arrowheads. Then this one, she took the time to write some of the lyrics out. It's Headmark, H-E-D-M-A-R-K. I feel almost as if I could take a stroll through the trees and find myself at home with you. Grandma Brigitte. And then next to that one, I'm not sure if this is a song or not. It says, Have I Forgotten? Then the last song on this side, Great Anthem for Reckoning. Oh boy, I'd like to really listen to that song. Then Hazel Eyes. Then I don't know if this is another song or part of it, Just a Print. It's written separately. Bear Mother. That's another one I'd like to listen to. This song, Civilized Debates, Fighting at the Dinner Table. Cradle of Lake George. That seems picturesque. Baby Freya. Selkirk Mountains. How to Start Your Own Cradle in Just 200 Pages. That sounds like I don't know. I Was Only 5 in Stockholm. Walking Shambling. Low Moans and Shadows. And the last song, Manifestation of Our Isolation. I guess that makes us say, well, maybe she's maybe a little goth, I'd say in a good way. I'm looking forward to listening. So that would be you'd be more of a cassette container. What are those called? A cassette case. And you'd be the cassette inside. Playing from the heart, from the what I mean. Okay, so one of the big challenges was season 2 for me, because the idea of paintings and being in a museum of how to transfer that to a costume. And the superhero was one. This is another one. This is season two, cassette one from the Tate Modern, 1971. And the way I thought about that was, I got around it, was a deck of cards. I thought of a deck of playing cards. That could be the way we did it. And I had to do a lot of prototypes because at first I started with sandwich board and whatever that stuff's called the kids use now instead of paper board, foam core. And because I wanted it to be able to change out the cassette tapes. And I said, well, you can't, I couldn't fit all the foam core. Even with magnets, it didn't work. And again, I wanted to have some variety. And then I was at a truck stop and I was thinking of the other podcast. Alice isn't at the big farm or is in the big, you know, at that Alice podcast. As I was using the restroom and I went to wash my hands and dry them. This was an old truck stop restroom. Instead of paper towels or blower, it had one of those things like a cloth on a scroll, an endless scroll that sanitizes itself with magic, I guess. But that's when it clicked in my mind. I said, this will be how I'll have different playing cards. I'll put them on a vinyl scroll within the two sides of the costume. So you would be wearing a box of playing cards, but on the front, would be a current card, which you could change again through a motorized thing that you could control with your thumb. And the back, you know, the cards would be, the card company would be Tate Modern, and the back would be red. And they thought about, okay, so the first card, the number one card for the number one are oranges in minty green billowing drapes. With an orchid there. I'm not doing these in order again because I said that would be boring. The Joker is, I thought, just a magazine lying in a cafe, lying open. I don't know. I like that idea. Number eight, I'm naming it after the Mobius strip. It's kind of something that looks unknowable and wispy. 10, number 10, feelings. And so it's something kind of symbolizing, it looks like emotional storms, correct. The king, for the king, it looks like, at first you say, what is that? And I say, it's a broken plate. It's a broken rhino plate. Broken, in, but a close-up of it, even though it's a painting, it's a drawing. Number 2, is a family home. It's a house with a yellow door. And it is, you could kind of play with it within the world and say, how many windows are there? What is the meaning of home? Number 3 is a low gray building. You could think about it. Is it on an island? It looks like it's on an island. Does the colors give you the sense of a mutual compromise? Number 9 is people, and it is not 9 people dancing happy and free. It's just people dancing happy and free. And number 6, this one is 6. It's 6 forest friends hiding in the shadows. Number 7 is a fun one for if people are, you know, coming in. It's a set of velvet ropes, and you say, please stay behind my velvet ropes. I just like that idea. Now the Joker. The wild card is a famous art critic named Alfred Bond. I spent way too much time on this one. So again, I thought about, too much time in this, thinking, can a bowl of fruit just be a bowl of fruit? And if you wanted me to really just make that costume for you, I could. Number 4 is a woman in a bath and her arms trailing along the floor. She's looking away from you. And also with that is a queen, which is just a bathtub sitting in a room by itself. And number 5 is just a self-portrait with a cat. I thought about that again. But then I thought about, I haven't finished this one because they said, well, she's never had a cat. And then I agreed. I said, well, would she like a cat? And then on the back of the card, I kind of have other things symbolizing living in an island. You'll see along the edges, like a low cliff, and some of the patterns kind of to feel like a tide and blue water and sandbars. And actually, this is a secret, but it's also an animation on the back of the card in the now it's on the upper left corners. If all the cards are aligned, it shows someone on the beach painting. Okay, this is from Season 3, Episode 2, or Reel 2, August 13, 1953. And, you know, there's a popular costume of people dressed as cats, right? And Cats is coming back out, I think, as a film. So I thought about the idea of a cat person, but that was dull to me. But I did like the idea of this cat named Constance with an orange bandana, a violet writing that says Constance on it. But this one kind of spans more than one episode a little bit, but I thought about the cat laying on a bed of pillows, but a lot of the pillows are cross-stitched or thematic. And then again, we could, you know, just use your upper body or whatever part to use for the costume. And then behind you is a tattered tapestry. The pillows in you are underneath is a rug that has hairballs on it. And then the one of the lowest needle points, is that what they're called? Not cross stitch needle point. It says you can only clean a rug so many times before it becomes quite a different rug. Another pillow says, mean what you say, but rarely say what you mean. My favorite pillow personally is, if Amy can't do it, no one can. Also tucked underneath one of the pillows is a playbill from last night was the wind. An article about the topaz window. Oh, this is a good pillow. There may be no borders, but there are a lot of feelings. And that looks like it's painted on the Berlin Wall, even though it's just a cross stitch or whatever. Oh, this one is on a bathroom wall. This is another one. It says, Kevin Prince is a terrible secretary. This is a quote. It says, act first, semantics. Act first, argue semantics later, -VR. And another one, if you receive an order, ship it. That's from Sioux City Shipping. And the cat's fur. So this was another thing I wanted to do artistically. Some of the cat's fur in the patches in black, whites, and grays look like clouds. But if you really look at the clouds, you'll see on the left side, are those swords going into plowshares, or is it your imagination? On the back of the cat, is that a message carved into a block of ice, or just cat fur? And then on the right side, you could easily clearly see that that's a stacking up of teacups, each a different size, and if the cat's standing up on two legs, trying to keep the teacups vertical. And then this one I did have to decide. I did want to call it something. So I named this one Jazzy Bureaucrat. I like to say bureaucrat, but because a Jazzy Bureaucrat sounds better. But Jazzy Bureaucrat, I guess I'll just call it Jazzy Bureaucrat as a cat. Okay, we have one more here. Now this one, season one, cassette one, Stress and Shoulders. Now, there's two versions of this that are popular in recent history as costumes that get on my nerves. One is a Napoleonic costume. Also, it could be an unnamed French general or some sort of old naval officer, all of those styles. And then there's like the patent general, the general, like, who pulls himself up by the bootstraps, a historic American general, pre-1960, I'd say. And both those are costumes, I'd say. Well, that's an interesting choice in costumes. Maybe better for, a historic living diorama or something. And so I've recreated both of those in the same way, just because they say, well, some people want their desert tans, and some people want their blues and their whites and their fancy buttons. So again, you picture kind of either one of those, but I kind of tried to do something I could do either one of those. As a, but this is what I'm envisioning here. And I want you to listen, remember, and comprehend as I tell you this. Now, the first thing is something no one will see, but it is, I call it weight of the world. And it's a dense globe on a necklace that no one sees. And the globe is made from a very, like, picture lead and the weight of lead. It's even more, it's a material that has more mass than that, but it feels heavy, even though it's a small globe. And you'll wear that around your neck as, you know, it's a walking metaphor, I guess. The other thing you'll notice right away when you, if you're wearing this, is that there's a lot of airflow. You know, real general would want that, but for our purposes, you need that too, from the armpits and the back. It allows a thing to breathe. And I also think that if you're wearing this at the weight around your neck of that necklace, at the weight of the world, should also remind you to breathe. You know, I like my, it'll be a suit coat, you know, most of the, or whatever you call it, a coat, military coat, I don't know, but I like mine to have piping. And so this has blue piping, you know, up on all of the edges of this coat. And it's kind of air, water, blue piping. And if it, at first it's subtle, but then when you start to notice it, I hope it feels sharp. I've also added like a little bit of airflow for when you walk and your legs move. That'll pump air like a breath behind you up the back of your jacket and out the neck of the coat. It's just like someone breathing on your neck as and walking behind you. I think the things on the shoulders are called epaulets, but I'm not positive about that. You know, those big motorboard type things. I don't know what they are, but... And this one is, I put a different one on each shoulder. One looks like it's made from stone, and one looks like it's made from sod. And they're very detailed, and they both, but I put them both in balance. So size-wise and weight-wise, they're the same. So they're in balance, but separate. Now, the jacket, I made it a kind of a forest green color, unless you want that tan or that blue. But it's kind of a wool blend. There's big buttons on there that look like kind of like milky half moons. It's almost like on the inside of your fingernail. And on the inside of the jacket are lots of pockets. There's a long one for a magic wand. There's other pockets you could keep toys or other things in. And now the jacket also has an internal superstructure. Now, this is, you wouldn't believe this, but it's made so that the jacket, while it looks like it's a regular jacket on the outside, it much like a weighted blanket when you sleep, it's designed, I've built it like, what are those called? Those backpacks, a suspension backpack, internal suspension system. This is like an internal holding system. So when you're wearing the jacket, you feel held. And because it's an open weaved wool, you feel held and enrobed. But you also kind of feel exposed to the world. And so I want you to feel both a comfort and an exposure at the same time. You could feel the breeze, but you still feel like a sense of security. Now, instead of medals and badges, I've worked on this. And instead of a name, it says, listen, remember, comprehend. Then there's five rectangular medals that are made to look like doors. On the left breast is another medal. It's a number five. It's just a circle, and it says number five. And then one of the things on the back that is surprising to most people are wings that look like they're stained glass wings. Dragonfly wings, they're teardrop shaped, but they're not the kind of wings that are spread out. They're pasted to the back, kind of a bit off kilter, like almost like the wearer of the jacket went to sleep on the wings and woke up with them stuck to their back. And then you may notice as you look at the jacket and the legs of the pants for a while, that the color of the green slowly goes from dark forest green. And as you get to the past the knee on the pant, that it slowly changes to the color of bird guano or, you know, bird droppings. And so that's another one I've thought about. And then now finally, this is like, so I hope you check out those Within the Wires. You may be even more confused if you've listened to every episode now. But, you know, one day you'll listen, you'll remember, and you'll comprehend. But you don't really need to. Just go out and shine in whatever costume you need. But this last one is based on a song from Ings, Love Goes On and On and On and On. And you could get it, using the link, you could check it out. But that this one I immediately thought of, this season's It Gift. Even though, you know, people used to say squad goals in, you know, whatever, 2015, I think this is they say, well, nobody uses that. What are you going to say, Visco Girl next, Reginald? I'd say, no, this is just a thing. This is a costume that's worn by four people that are friends. And you can't deny that it's 2019. It is the costume that's probably selling very well for adults. And that's the Golden Girls. Now, the Golden Girls were a group of older adults, right, that were friends based on a TV show. You'll see it tomorrow. You'll see it, or at the parties of the past weekend, you saw a team of friends dressed as the Golden Girls. And for some of you, you said, what are you, for grand? You know, but some of you knew. So it's a cutesy thing. And I, you know, I'm a fan of the show Golden Girls. And so I thought about, how could we do this? So I want you to forget everything I said now, because this one is very... I thought about this song, Love Goes On and On and On and On. And when you see this costume, at first you're going to say, it's just a giant wrapped gift. That's when I'm going to be inside that box. And I'd say, correct, but look closer. And if you look closer, you'll see the gift is wrapped in handmade wrapping paper, hand-painted wrapping paper by myself. And you'll see on there, you'll see Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz. You say, okay, Dorothy. You'll see roses everywhere. You'll see what looks like someone blanching something. There's asparagus being blanched in an ice bath. You say, oh, okay. And then books symbolizing wisdom for Sophia. I did put a couple Sophia the First influenced pictures there just in case. So that represents Dorothy, Rose, Blanche, and Sophia, the Golden Girls. And then instead of a ribbon, I took a tin heart and then I cut it up and then I made it into a metal ribbon wrapped around the present and into a bow. And then on the gift is a tag, and on one side of the tag, it says officially the world's biggest gift, according to the Gift Giving Institute. This is the biggest gift. So you will see that. And then on the other side, it'll say from me, and it'll say, thank you for being a friend. And ideally, that would get people to sing along, you know, travel down the road. And then here's your, do yourself a favor, you know, travel down the road to this four seasons of Within the Wires. There really are a lot of roads to travel down there and back again. And I don't want to, you know, the Scooter says, don't, he just called to me the other room, don't earworm anyone. So don't, so I'll change the subject. So check out Within the Wires, check out Ings's music and enjoy your costuming. And if you ever want to think about, who would I be? It would probably be the art critic Bond, because I always feel awkward at parties. Like everyone's dressed, and I show up and eat a cucumber sandwich and have to go. But now it's time for you to go to bed. Good night. All right. I want to thank everybody that reviewed the podcast recently. Stephen with a PH 7626 from Canada said, my nocturnal life vest podcast has been a godsend. Thanks, Scooter. Creaky dulcet tones are my nighttime prescription. And unknown person 18 from Canada also loves the podcast. I'm in school, helps me so much. It's not even funny anymore. I'll listen to it all day. I will listen to it all day. But like if, as if I had to, but it wouldn't be punishment. It would be okay. Cause I'd go to sleep all day and wake up when I want to. So 5 stars. Maybe we got a write up in Canada or something. Cause we get a lot of Canadian, then Zesty to Mordaunt, loathes the podcast. Let's just say that, they don't like the podcast, but this is interesting because it's a flip flop because it's back to back reviews. This one is from the U.S. It's from Panama 543. I'll make it short and sweet. Sweet. They're a massive skeptic turned devout listener. They had years long chronic insomnia. Dealt with a lot. They're an executive, so they had to deal with a lot of demands. They tried everything. Stuff in bottles, you know, everything. Subscription, you know, all those routes. And they were recommended to this podcast by another executive. It took them a year to get desperate enough to try it. At first night, they thought it was annoying and nonsensical, and they didn't like it. They loathed it. The second night, they were annoyed and irritated, but they slept about 2 hours. The third night, about a little bit more. Really, this person, they kept giving a try, though. By the fourth night, it went from annoying and nonsensical to soothing, and I fell asleep, slept through the night. Now, mega fan. So appreciative for this person who spends hours in the studio to help others get to sleep. So thank you, Panama. You get it. Yeah, then another Canadian. So I don't know what happened in Canada that we got all these reviews recently, but maybe Mirror JD says, important part of my bedtime routine. Thanks, Scoots. I mean, I really appreciate it. I just like, I don't know, I'm always looking at these trends. Girly McBeans, it says, comforting, chronic insomniac. Sometimes stories put me to sleep, and sometimes it relieves anxiety when I can't sleep. Scooter's a benevolent distraction, thanks. Long dark nights of tossing and turning, not as daunting as they used to be. Lolly with an IE Palooza. I don't know how you spell the other one. I don't think that, maybe, the, oh, it's Lala. Lolly Palooza, though, says, thanks, Scooter. Amazing, safe, comforting voice in the night. Appreciate it. Dina, the advocate, says they've been through a lot of stuff. And obviously that led to them not being able to sleep, or they couldn't sleep already. And then it got, you know, and then they found the podcast. And now at night I listen to you instead of what's racing through my head. And I'm fast asleep. Lifesaver. Don't know how to say it. Do you think you'll add more episodes past 2017? At this time, we don't have the ability to do that in a sustainable way. So some of them are up on YouTube. Patrons, I think, have access to like episode up to 300s. So I'm trying to find a way to do it, but I don't think in the free feed, the ad-supported feed, we'll be able to do that at this time. And speaking of ads, this Mighty Masher 19, they said that the ads make it inconsistent. Which is an irony, because without the ads, I couldn't consistently keep the podcast going. But I understand it. It is a paradigm. I mean, it is a conundrum. A great way to fall asleep and consistently wake up. Interspersed ads. Actually, they're not interspersed. The show has a very strict structure. And there's only ads at the very beginning and between the intro and the story as people are winding down. And I understand, like, that's the tough thing. It's like, it might turn new listeners off, but it lets the show be there for regular listeners or people that are willing to kind of see the bigger picture. Or if you're a patron, you don't have to listen to the ads. I feel like I always have to explain myself, but it is like, I don't know, this is also, it's like, I feel like sometimes people think that they do it just to get on their nerves or, for some other reasons. Love, love, love. That comes from Comino. They love the podcast. Instrumental says best boyfriend, college student far from home. And then they are taking medication for something, which also makes it hard to sleep. And now they listen at night and when they take naps. Thanks. Crazy about him. Hart from the U.S., thank you so much. And for someone with insomnia, I haven't had much issues when I get stressed out. Now I can go to sleep with this podcast. Pixie OD says, started listening 3 years ago after seeing a recommendation. I usually have a lot of trouble But yeah, hearing it when I was flying back to Australia to help some family stuff, I was very thankful. I continue listening since then, and it helps. I prefer the original content. It's sometimes the TV episodes are distracting for them, and they like the theme park series. So thank you, Pixie, and thanks everybody for reviewing the show. Sleeping with Me exists. You can review the show on Apple Podcasts in your app or on your computer. Sleeping with Me exists as a free podcast because people that support the show on Patreon or buy our merch or support us in other ways or support the sponsors. So I really appreciate everybody that takes some extra action, whether it's reviewing the show, supporting the podcast, or spreading the word. That's how the podcast grows, and that's how new people find the show. So thank you for that. And here's another podcast from Night Vale Presents I wanted you to know about. And then there's plenty of other episodes ready to go for you. All right, everybody, this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review, and this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month, and what you can expect to see on in the public feed, too. Now, I have, if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only, and then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, in whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from on Apple are Overcasts, iCatcher, Pocket Casts, and on Android you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in my app is I think this is the Boyfriends level. I have four podcasts: the ad-free full episodes, the story-only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story-only versions of the show, the all-intro, all-night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out, and that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to the Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them. And, yeah, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. Let's pop into all intro, all night episodes. I know an all intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all intro episode came out. And then we had March is at bonus episodes. There was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all in. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed. Let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On Week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On. which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabolix, we're getting ready, big announcement. If I haven't made it anywhere, we're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Sabolix. So that's cool. That's something we're looking forward to doing. And that was episode 1 of that. Or that was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of The Great British Bake Off, and episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut, that was a good one. 12:50, one of my favorite episodes, probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of some news articles about the experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series. I mean, a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex, episode 4. And then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. Again, if you ever need support, support@supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not you don't need support. But if you do, and the other thing is this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me, and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's I put it at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way. But these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right, and building your playlists from that podcast app. So yeah, thanks everybody for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback@sleepwithmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com. And good night.